What's up, nerds? And welcome back to your, well, this week, your bonus, extremely bonus, awesome episode of the flagship Three Fat Nerds podcast. It's not a whole episode. It's more like a half episode, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I like to call this our outbreak edition. So we are coming to you, luckily, from the 8122 Production Studios at Dragon Master Games, which is still open, and we'll talk about them a little later because I definitely need to give them a shout out because it's trying times, if you will. Of course, I am your host, Rich. With me, as always, is the man who doesn't need an introduction, but has the longest introduction in all of podcasting. That's right. It is hashtag Big Natty Cool, hashtag Mad Dog Strong Style, hashtag Challenge Accepted. And you'll find out tonight if you're on Patreon, because we're recording this on a Wednesday. It is coming out on a Wednesday. Hashtag H for Heat, what that's all about. Also, he is the your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster, the man, the myth, the legend, all rolled up into one fat ginger bearded guy. That's right, it's the Diesel.
What's happening, party people?
And we are joined by a special guest via Skype from an undisclosed quarantine location. Our good friend from Uppercut Editions, Mike Ivory. How you doing, Mike?
Hey guys, I'm okay, just avoiding the plague.
Yes, I think that's what everybody's doing. I hope everybody at home is enjoying their quarantining and staying safe and everything else and getting stuff done. I speak on behalf of all essential workers, because without saying where I work, I am considered an essential worker, so I am at work. We are on the front lines for you guys. Don't give us attitude, please.
You know, I used to think that the people that were immune to this COVID-19 were the Tide Pod Eaters, but I think if we don't get sick, us three, I think the cure for this is Batman bombs.
Oh, that could be true. Batman bombs could be the cure. It could be the cure.
At some point in your life, you have to have had a Batman bomb.
I've had a Batman bomb with you, my friend.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. We'll have to release that recipe to the world sometime so they know exactly what we're talking about. Before we go any further and get into like the meat and potatoes of this special bonus episode for this week, let me just remind you, if you want to talk to us about anything, ask any questions, get any more information, or tell us something you want us to talk about, or hey, you can even tell us we suck. We don't really care at this point. You can go ahead and do that on our social medias. Facebook, we are Three Fat Nerds Podcast. Like and share that page. Of course, we are also on Twitter and Instagram at Three Fat Nerds Pod. For the flagship show, always use the hashtag 3FN to join the conversation. Also, right now the website is down because I brought it down for maintenance. So in the future, I'll probably be back up, 8122productions.com. But right now it is down. I if you went there, I'm sorry, but I had to do some stuff to it, and I figured it would be easier to take it down to do the stuff. And last but certainly not least, of course, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/8122productions. And trust me, during this time, we are those independent people that need the money. It would be poured right back in the podcast because April 10th is coming, and that's the day we have to pay for our renewal. I found that out, by the way, Diesel, April 10th.
All right, I got it.
I know. I'm just saying, April 10th. So with that being said, well, let's jump right into the meat and the potatoes of this matter. So, Mike, last time you were on, we talked about the Mortal Kombat Compendium, the nice encyclopedia you put together over there at Uppercut Editions. You guys did go to Chicago. Unfortunately, there were some snafus. How was the trip to Chicago?
Overall, I mean, it was pretty nice. We got to see the city. So, I mean, that's a positive. But it started off, like, pretty weird. I mean, when we got to the airport, we got there a little early, and, you know, you want to tie a few on before a flight. So we did that, and then we got to Chicago, and as soon as we got in, I guess we kind of got settled at the hotel. But it was weird because, like, there wasn't a lot of foot traffic at the airport, which was strange. So we got there, and then we got everything set up, and the first thing our first order of business was to go to NetherRealm Studios, and we all went in our matching apparel and stuff to look official, to basically drop off the pitch books. So we walked in, and the desk folks let us in, and they thought we were there for to fix a security issue, I guess they were having.
The geek squad rolled through.
They were like, I thought you're here to fix the security issue on the door. And we were like, no, we're here to drop off our books and do our pitch. And they were like, oh, well, do you want us to go get everybody? And they're like, well, everyone's kind of tied up in a meeting. And I was like, well, okay. So we hung around, they took pictures for us, and they let us basically hand off the books to the respective parties. We were all kind of sitting there. We didn't have to sign any NDAs or anything like that, but everybody was tied up in this meeting, so, you know, we obviously weren't going to get a whole lot done. We then left. We were there for about a half hour. We left, and as we were in the car driving back to the hotel, that's when they released that press announcement that said basically everything is canceled. And only the top 16 and their guests could get into the event on Sunday. So the day before, when everybody was landing in Chicago, they canceled it. Like, these are like hundreds of people.
Wow.
So, yeah, we were a little distraught, you know, having at least gotten into the studio to drop everything off. But, you know, I personally had paid, I think, 60 or 70% of our budget for our entire project to get us out there. And then, you know, the rest of the day was kind of like, well, what do we do now? So I guess we took the rest of the day and we kind of just went around. We tried all the Chicago-based food, you know, your deep dish pizza, your Chicago dogs, dipped beef sandwiches. And we went to Galloping Ghost pretty often on that Friday night. But Saturday was a little different because I guess the fans and the folks who were eliminated from the Last Chance Qualifier event, they went and organized an event at the arcade, and all the cosplayers, like the one girl came from Australia and she did like an amazing Scorpion cosplay. But she has been following our project for 5 years. So she like jumped at us when she saw the new book and she was like, oh my God, am I like the first one to see this? And wanted to take a ton of pictures. And there was at least 100 or so fans. So like while they were saying, hey, avoid gatherings of like 50 more people, the first thing that Mortal Kombat fans did was form a gathering of 50 or more people.
Right, so, on. How punk rock is that, though?
And it took less than 24 hours for them to do it. And they had a tournament. There was a buy-in and there was like a tournament. It was pretty hype. But when you walked into the room, it was like you were walking into like a sweat cloud. And it was palpable that there's folks that just did not shower or use deodorant. And I don't want to like single anybody out. I don't know who was doing it or what. I mean, there were people wearing masks. There was, you know, there were some pretty cool prizes they were giving out. But it was cool seeing everybody and, you know, showing off the book. And we got a ton of mileage out of it. And, you know, after that Saturday, you know, we went and I guess we like kind of just toured Chicago and went to all the places like comic book shops and whatnot. And on Sunday, instead of going to the event, we just kind of hung out and went to the airport. But it wasn't entirely fruitless. It sucked that less than 24 hours in, they were like, hey, we're just going to axe everything. And, you know, we're not going to say anything else about it, which sucked because, you know, it was our window. That's what we went there for. But, I mean, I look at it this way. They're going to refund most of the expenses, which means I got a free trip to Chicago out of it. And we did actually drop our books off there. And we got it in front of a lot of important people who, you know, make videos that are sponsored by WB. So in my book, it's a plus, and I got a free trip to Chicago out of it and a lot of pizza.
Oh, nice. Well, I mean, at least it wasn't all for naught. But I mean, that's awesome that you could salvage something from that. It always sucks when everything is going down. Now, I have the book, as we all know, this elusive book that I have not done much with. Sorry, unfortunately, due to outbreak 2019, 2020. Sorry, yeah. Well, I mean, I keep getting confused because that 19 marker at the end of it. Hopefully, Apple Podcast doesn't flag you like Facebook does. Because of such, I haven't done. But tomorrow, which we're recording this, full disclosure, as we always do on a Wednesday night, it will be out Wednesday night. I'm going to put this directly out. So tomorrow, if you guys are hearing this on Thursday, I'm going to be with a professor from Horror Zone 607 in studio tomorrow. And we are actually going to do a Facebook Live video, and also a video we'll be putting up on something else, and then pictures, etc., etc. So we will be doing that tomorrow, finally, because finally I have time where I'm not stuck in retail hell. Because I won't say where I work, but I can only tell you it's in retail, and toilet paper has been an issue.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've been pulling 13, 14-hour days. It's crazy.
I know.
Oh, the real struggle of me not going to work anymore. That was my free bathroom time. Like, I didn't have to use my own personal stash.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You're going to have to dig into your stash, sir.
Oh,
sorry, man.
I was lucky this week, and I was able to score a 4-pack from CBS. I had 2 rolls, and I was like, well, that's enough to last me for a long time. But I was like, I don't know how long this is going to go on. A 4-pack will last me a month. We're good.
Yeah. By the way, we are stocked at my job.
All right, nice.
Yeah, we're stocked, so we're good. The limits have been working out wonderfully. the two limit per person. They're not working out for them treating us like shit there, but no, they're working out for as far as getting a stockpile. But anyways, it's great. I'm glad that you guys got all that stuff. And have you had any time to hear any feedback yet from the people you talked to about the book?
Yeah, the folks we talked to, like fans and stuff like that, had a lot of feedback with it. I mean, some people were big fans of the gear pages that, you know, are in the book for the characters, but then some were like, we kind of pitched the idea and told them what we were going to do, which is get these amazing 4K crisp images of the characters and basically line those other two pages with artwork versus that grid of gear. And, you know, a lot of people were like, oh my God, yeah, you'd basically be combining the art book with the encyclopedia, and it would look really, it would break up a lot of the text and stuff like that. So that was like the big takeaway. A lot of people said, you know, is this official? You know, when is this coming out? And we had to kind of temper expectations and say, yeah, listen, we've been working on it for 5 years now. It's a work in progress.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it does look good. I mean, obviously there's things that were changing anyways, because you explained all that to me when we had talked about it originally.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm a huge fan, like I said, in the last time I interviewed, and the fact that it doubles as kind of like a coffee table book. You can actually put this on your coffee table, and it's a great conversation starter. Just like, because coffee table books are a thing now. I mean, it's also one that you can read, because usually the coffee table books just have like pictures in them. This one you can actually delve into, read, and then you can set it there and people will come. And I mean, it's recognized. I mean, let's be honest, it's one of the most recognizable images in all of, not just in gaming, but in the world. I mean, the Mortal Kombat image is pretty much there.
Yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful book. And yeah, it's definitely a conversation starter if you had this on your table, and like, people are going to know it and they're going to start talking about it. And it's really well done. Like, from what I've seen of it, you guys did a great job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you, man.
And that's coming from the guy who doesn't play video games a lot. So,
yeah,
that should tell you if he's impressed by it, that's pretty awesome.
You know, I don't think I've actually ever successfully gotten a fatality in that game, in any of the games.
Really?
I'm horrible at these types of games.
We can change that.
Yeah.
I do have the latest one for Switch, so yeah. I can always just bring the Switch to the studio.
Yeah, Mike, though, I know I've seen on Facebook, how is the Spawn character play?
He just came out yesterday, and I think I had maybe an hour and a half or so to play with him. But, man, like, they got Keith David.
Oh, nice.
So his voice is literally like butter. And it's like the lines are like that he says are basically so true to the character. It's fantastic. I mean, he has an intro where he walks into the arena with clown's head on a pike.
Oh, nice.
So that, I mean, there's a lot of really cool nods, and they try to tie him into the universe pretty good. I mean, as they do with most guest characters, and it works out really well. But he plays really well too. It seems to be a lot of the pro players and stuff are picking him up, and they're saying that he's, you know, he's got a lot of basically, you know, they made rules for the game, and certain characters can do certain things. So Spawn kind of breaks those rules, as Spawn probably would. But the cosmetics are fantastic. I mean, the guy even has a Deadpool skin, where he's like red and black, and it's basically, it looks like Deadpool. He's got, you know, a lot of really cool cosmetics, and it looks like they went all out making him, and he plays really well. The dialogues are awesome. I did play through his ladder ending, and his ladder ending is probably one of the best in the game. It does look like they had a lot of fun, you know, making the guest characters versus, I guess, like their tried and true actual roster characters. But, you know, when you have a guest character, you know, obviously you have a certain type of way of handling them, and there's rules. And I know Todd said basically that he was hands off and just make it look like a really cool character.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is his ladder ending equally as good as the Jason ladder ending for Max?
Oh man, I think it's pretty good. They're all non-canon endings, but
it's
a pretty good ending. They gave him a pretty long one too. Like
really?
he talks for like, I want to say 2 minutes or so. It's just like Keith David, and I'm not going to spoil anything.
But right, yeah, don't spoil it.
It's
I'm
a pretty
saying.
Good ending.
That's pretty awesome. Well, I was sort of saying, because Mortal Kombat X, they didn't have all the talking and stuff, but I love the end story for Jason in that, where it's like Liu Kang offers him to be his assassin. Then he kills everybody in the room and then wanders around just murdering things. And I was like, oh, that would fit perfectly in that world, I would assume.
Well, with Keith David, I would hope that they would give the Requiem for a Dream ending.
Oh, jeez. Oh, come on, man.
Oh, Keith David is an unsung hero for that movie.
Oh, yes. He is an unsung hero for that movie. I will agree with you. I'm glad that you guys are there. Did you hear anything back from NetherRealms about the books you dropped off and such?
No, it's been pretty quiet on their end. And I get it. They're facing a lot of backlash still from the event, and they're dealing with a lot of crap there. They did just drop Spawn, so I figured they're all kind of heads down about that. But my assumption is they're working on the next batch of DLC, which was obviously spoiled that Ash Williams is part of it. But, I'm trying to find a window where it would be opportune. But I've heard from folks that work inside that have seen the book that basically, you know, they're big fans of it, and they like what we did with it. And I guess we have like a short list of folks that are going to get one of the complete ones when we finish it in January.
Sweet. That's awesome. I can't wait to see where that goes. Hopefully it gets to the masses. So we like to have a little fun here on the show. And usually during Diesel's Movie Triple Stuff on the real show, we do the top three. And we also do Diesel's Movie Club. I'm taking Diesel's Movie Club over for this one. But we'll do a top three. I don't know if Diesel can participate in the top three just because he's not a video game player. But so sorry, D. But Mike, you can, and it'll relate to your book. So it's going to be the top three DLC characters from Mortal Kombat. So you're the guest, so you get to go first.
I'm going to go number three would probably be, I would have to say, Alien from X. They did a pretty nice job with Alien. And one of the best players in the world played Alien. He was a pretty broken character. And they gave him like an MK version of the alien where he kind of bursts out of the Tarkatan chest and he has the blades on his hands.
That's
as aliens typically will take on the host's attributes sometimes. And then two would probably be Predator. I feel like they really nailed Predator, especially with the Predator came the Carl Weathers skin. And they also had the Predator would like laugh mid round and do that creepy laugh he does,
yeah,
and turn invisible and cloak, and they had ones where like he would, you know, do the heat vision and shit like that. I mean, that was pretty well done. And then number one would probably be Spawn.
Oh, wow.
Because of how much work they put into it. I mean, the character is just insane.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, my top three. Oh, you got a top three?
I do not have a top three because the last time I played Mortal Kombat was on the Sega Genesis.
So, who's your top three favorite characters from the original Mortal Kombat? Because that would be the Sega Genesis version. Actually, there's a couple versions. Who was your top three?
The last time I played Mortal Kombat, though, was at the local arcade.
Okay, so who is your top three favorite characters from Mortal Kombat, period?
We'll
get you involved before I get mine.
Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and the forearm dude.
Goro?
Goro.
Okay. All right.
He almost said Goku.
He was close.
Yeah.
I had to stop him before he went too far. My top three DLCs, and being a horror fan, obviously, it's going to go on the run. So number three was actually Freddy Krueger from Part 9. I just wish it was the Robert Englund model. That was the only thing I really would have wished over all. But still, I love Freddy Krueger, so we're good. Number two actually is the same as yours, Predator. I enjoyed playing with Predator because it was funny, all the nuances they gave it. And then I said it earlier that my favorite was Jason. I got pretty good at playing with Jason because, I don't know, I like brute, savage guys that just smash face. And Jason did all of those things, plus had some really cool fatalities. So that was my top three DLC.
Blanca would bitch slap his bitch ass.
Who would?
Blanca.
Oh, jeez.
Taking you back to the last time I played video games again.
So, Diesel, before we talk about this, right, what would be, out of the two movies, what is your favorite? Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter the movie?
Oh, Mortal Kombat it still holds up to this day. Street Fighter was abysmal. It's definitely Mortal Kombat, which is still just a poor man's The Quest.
And I'm not going to disagree, but the Diesel's Movie Club Pick of the Week is the original Mortal Kombat film from 1995. Oh. Released on August 18, 1995. Budget of $20 million. You get this. It made $122.1 million in the U.S. box office.
Oh, yeah.
It smashed.
I probably saw it three times in theaters, honestly. As a kid, I was 12 years old. Oh, yeah. You goddamn right. I saw this multiple times. And then rented it from Video King probably another dozen.
Yeah. Mike, do you have any fond memories of the Mortal Kombat movie?
I remember seeing it multiple times and making my parents go take me to it. And then the second one, I had such high hopes for. And we went and saw it, and then like I came away just kind of like, as a kid, I was really confused, like why they would kill Johnny Cage in the first like 2 minutes, which is, I guess would be a spoiler warning, but it's been out for forever. But yeah, I mean at the time, I guess like MK3 and MK4 were out, so they were kind of capitalizing on that stuff and. It had a bigger budget, but that didn't necessarily mean, you know, throw every character in there. And there were some really bad, like, production issues with that movie. But the first one, I feel like it holds up really well.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I always feel like as a video game movie, it's definitely a top five. Because there's not a whole lot that are very good, with the exception of maybe, I haven't seen it yet, but the Sonic movie I hear is getting pretty good.
Sonic's pretty good. It's enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Diesel has. I haven't seen it, so I can't really speak on if it's better or not. So as of right now, Mortal Kombat is still my favorite video game movie, because, I mean, let's be honest, we've had some real stinkers in that realm.
I don't know, Postal's pretty good.
Yeah, but I not really wide release, and a lot of people didn't even know that was a game.
Yeah.
So we have to, I give you that. Postal is a lot of fun, because it does look like a video game on a movie screen, but I think overall Mortal Kombat. So being the pick of the week, Mike, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but we play a game, and usually Ron is here, and Ron finally got his win back, so it won't be as much important. So what we do is I take some of the scores, I take them right off of some of the websites, and it's whoever gets closest, Price is Right rules. So we're gonna play. So I'll explain it to you, and then you can go ahead and pick. So first, we'll start off with the only one that's out of 10 with points. It is IMDb. So just so you get a feel for it, we'll have Diesel go first. Diesel, how much out of 10 on IMDb did this movie get?
People have nostalgic love for this movie. I'm gonna go 7.6.
Mike, how much do you think it got on IMDb?
I'm going to go 7.2.
Wow, you both busted on that. It's 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh.
All right, next up, we got Metacritic. Of course, this is just critic scores. Metacritic out of 100%. Mike, you go first. What is it out of 100% for Metacritic?
I'm going to go 75%.
Diesel.
Oh, critics are going to be rough around this one. 42%.
Diesel, you get it because the Price is Right rules. It's actually 58% on Metacritic. That's kind of an interesting... That's a good score on Metacritic, believe it or not. All right, so Rotten Tomatoes out of 100%. Diesel, you're up.
58. We'll go 64.
64 for Diesel. What do you got on Rotten Tomatoes, Mike? This is critics and...
I'm gonna go 60%.
You guys are both wrong. Believe it or not, Rotten Tomatoes lower than Metacritic. 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. Last but certainly not least, usually the tiebreaker, but if Diesel gets it, pretty much he wins. If not, we're going to be tied because we have Google users. Now, I'm just going to forewarn you, Mike. Google users are usually higher because this is just fans. So out of Google users, you go first, Mike. Out of 100%, what do they choose for Mortal Kombat?
I'm going to go 75%.
Diesel.
I'm going with that magic 58.
You know what? Mike got this one. Believe it or not, Google users, 92%.
Holy shit.
That is where all the nostalgia feels came in. Google users. So Google users love this movie. We tend to see that in movies. Anything that there's nostalgia feels for, anything that people have a fond memory, cult classics especially, we really have a really high Google user. And I did hit like on it. It didn't change. One of these days, it's going to change.
With the exception of Double Dragon.
Oh, man. Double Dragon's just bad.
Yeah, it is.
Remember when we played that trailer on a long-lost podcast thing? That you can find in our archives, by the way. Just look up 3Fan. It's one of the episodes. It's like one or two.
Yeah, it was bad. That was a rough one.
That was a fun. It was fun, though.
Yeah.
It was funny to just dissect that. Do you remember Double Dragon, Mike? The movie.
Yeah, that movie was god-awful.
If you ever want to remind yourself.
I just remember how bad.
You can watch the trailer on YouTube and the full movie on YouTube.
No, I had the lovely the opportunity to watch the entire movie when I was younger, and it was just bad.
Is Double Dragon worse than Super Mario Brothers?
I don't know. The whole Goombas with the tiny heads and the giant bodies thing, and the
I feel like Super Mario Brothers would be nightmare fuel for Diesel.
Whoa.
Yeah. I feel like it's pretty. If you remade it now, you could probably make it into a horror movie.
Why are you saying worse than Super Mario Brothers is a classic? John Leguizamo.
Yeah, I feel like that's the only thing that's great.
Oh, he was so good.
Bob Hoskins as Mario.
Bob Hoskins was amazing. Oh, I really enjoy Mario Brothers. Like, was it
Anthony Hopkins as King Koopa? Is that Hopkins?
No, it wasn't Hopkins.
It's he's a big name actor too. Why am I forgetting it? He was in Blue Velvet.
Yeah, the bad guy from
Speed.
Speed, yeah.
Why am I drawing a blank? Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper, there you
Dennis
go.
Dennis Hopper is King Koopa. I was drawing a blank there for sure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that movie. And what was actually scarier than that was the cartoon / live action with Captain Lou Albano.
Oh, that was the best.
Oh, that was freaky.
That was the best. Captain Lou Albano is great in everything he does.
He was great, but that's nightmare fuel.
Don't you shit on Captain Lou, bro. Yeah, come on, man.
You don't know if he's down with Stool Internet.
I don't think he's with us anymore.
No, he's not.
Captain Lou's been gone for a little bit. Unfortunately, I love Captain Lou, the man who made safety pins and rubber bands popular. Yeah, I don't know. I think as far as going into it, there's a long line of just bad video game movies.
Yeah, there.
I feel like
Resident Evil had like 6 bad movies.
You got to be fair. The first one wasn't god awful. It wasn't unwatchable. After that, they became unwatchable. Now, I'm not saying the first one was good. I'm just saying it wasn't unwatchable. After the first one, pretty unwatchable. But I agree there. But then again, the problem I have with Resident Evil movies is those games did such a good job of painting a picture and telling a story that you really didn't need a fucking movie. Like that was really where it's at. I mean, I don't know. Of course, then they've tried, what is it? Of course, Doom. I bet you The Rock would like to forget about that movie.
Yeah.
And they made a straight to Netflix sequel.
Yeah, actually, I heard that was better than the original. I didn't, that's not saying much, but I heard it was better than the original. I mean, that's not really, the bar was set very low. You know what movie was good for back then, but it wasn't a video game movie? It was Ghost of Mars. Because I can't remember the same time.
Oh,
that was great. Ice Cube.
One was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie. But that wasn't a video game movie, but that came out around the same time as Doom did, if I remember correctly.
What was the same sort of premise, not with ghosts, obviously, but the Val Kilmer one, where it was they were terraforming Mars and shit went sideways? that was actually pretty decent, too. It was,
yeah, I forgot about that
Val
one.
Kilmer and Carrie Ann Moss were in it.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a big deal because no one
Red
remembers.
Planet.
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes. Yeah, it's Red Planet. There you go. Yeah, it is. Good. I mean, there was a lot of cool, like, Mars movies were kind of cool. Like I said, Ghost on Mars, Ghost of Mars also had the benefit that it was a John Carpenter flick.
Yeah.
It's John Carpenter written and directed, starring Ice Cube.
Yeah.
The baddest man in the universe, let's be honest. Three Kings was also good with Ice Cube. That was the one with him and Clooney.
Yeah.
Really good movie.
And Marky Mark.
Marky Mark, yeah. He'll always be Marky Mark to me. I don't give a damn. Every time I see him, I just hear, feel it, feel the vibrations. There's no sense of the fact that he's like one of the greatest movie stars in the world. It's the same with The Rock. Every time I see The Rock, I think about the jabroni beating, pie eating, trailblazing, eyebrow raising.
Smell what The Rock is cooking.
That's right, man.
For acting though, I constantly, I know we bring it up constantly or used to, Southland Tales. Like, he blew me away in his acting in Southland Tales.
I gotta be honest, great. The first time I realized that he was a magnificent actor wasn't there though. It was Be Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
When he played the gay mafia guy. The bouncer for the mafia guy, the protector. He was amazing because that was the first time you ever saw him act.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem in Doom. Doom, he doesn't really act. Doom, he's just being The Rock pretty much. Just like even in The Rundown. The Rundown was enjoyable. I enjoyed The Rundown for what it was, but technically he was just playing The Rock.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of movies in his early on, even Walking Tall. I enjoyed Walking Tall, but he was playing The Rock. Like a lot of those movies, he just played The Rock. So when you saw like a Be Cool and then Southland Tales, he wasn't being The Rock anymore. He was being somebody different. And nowadays, man, the dude's just, I mean, there are still movies, let's be honest, Fast and the Furious, he's basically playing The Rock. But, you know, obviously he makes a shit ton of money for him. But then you have other movies like San Andreas.
Jumanji.
His comedy chops are great.
Yeah.
Him and Kevin Hart together, a great team. But yeah, The Rock, come on, it's The Rock. Dude, The Rock raises it. The Rock takes off that shirt, man. Whew, it's like Jason Momoa. The women just go, whoo. I don't know. I kind of go, whoo, too.
And it's And it's always a khaki shirt. Like, it's always the same color in every movie.
It's always it is. It is. And it's always super tight-fitting, too. Like, they know what they have there. They know. It's The Rock, man.
Oh, to be in shape one day and have clothes look like that on you. Oh.
Yeah, it's like that Super Bowl commercial with fucking Jason Momoa, where he starts peeling everything off and he looks like a meth head. Oh. Diesel, you went to see Aquaman how many times to see Jason Momoa come out of that water?
I actually got to... confess something. I still haven't seen Aquaman.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised, man.
I'm behind.
I know your mom went.
Your mom. She was supposed to, but I don't know if she actually did.
Your mom loves her some Jason Momoa.
I actually bought her a gift card for Regal so she could go see it. I don't know if she actually did, but I'm still behind on Aquaman, Suicide Squad, Harley Quinn, and Far From Home. I still haven't seen those four ones.
Suicide Squad. You might enjoy Suicide Squad. I enjoyed it for what it was. It wasn't a great movie, but I enjoyed it for what it was.
Those are the four I still haven't seen.
Aquaman was really good. I really loved the Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah.
Like, as you told, I talked about it on here. I really loved that movie. Mike, did you ever see Birds of Prey?
Which one? Birds of Prey? Not yet.
Oh, man, you guys. Actually, it's going to be on VOD soon. They announced. They're rushing it to VOD because of everything. Also, this Friday, we should mention on this show, we'll talk about it on Horror Zone 607 tomorrow because we're recording it tomorrow when we're recording this. The Universal this Friday is releasing on VOD The Hunt and The Invisible Man, which I did not have time to go to the theater for, so I'm excited because I'm going to watch both them movies.
Yep. And isn't Shudder giving away 30 months free or 30 days free for...
Shudder has a promo code called... I'm already a member of Shudder, so unfortunately I still pay, but it's not unfortunate. They have a great service. I cannot plug it enough. We plug it on Horror Zone a lot, so I'm glad I get a chance to do it here. But if you type in promo code SHUTIN, all one word, SHUTIN, on the promo code, you get 30-day free trial of Shudder. Trust me, there's a lot of gems on there. There's a lot of old essential horror movies on there. Texas Chainsaw Massacre's on there. They have the original Halloween on there. Halloween 4 and 5 is also on there. I can't name all the movies that they have on there because it's amazing. But there's I watched for Friday the 13th, instead of watching a movie, I watched Crystal Lake Memories, the 400-minute documentary. I didn't watch all of it in one sitting because it's 400 minutes. But it's there. And also Never Sleep Again, the 3-hour Nightmare on Elm Street documentary is also on there. So if you're interested in those are great to watch. They also have a ton of stuff. They have Shudder original movies. There's a movie on there called the Furies that me and Mike watched, Mike C from Horror Zone, and it is amazing. They have a lot of stuff. So Shudder promo code SHUTIN, 30 days. That's what we're here for. Also support independent wrestling if you're supporting the wrestling world, because independentwrestling.tv promo code EXCITE. That's XCITE. That helps support EXCITE Wrestling, which is our local wrestling promotion, and it also gets you independentwrestling.tv, who just signed a deal today. I mean, the wrestling show came out earlier today, but we recorded yesterday. They signed a deal today with GCW. So they're going to be streaming GCW shows starting this Thursday. So there you go. Little wrestling. We're touching all the bases over here at 8122 Productions today. Of course, we definitely want to have you on post-apocalypse, Mike, as long as we all survive this. And this is not the zombie apocalypse, because I'm really upset there's no zombies. I don't know. I might be speaking. Are you upset there's no zombies, Mike?
I mean, when you think this kind of thing is going to happen, the way it's spreading, you would think there's going to be something that relates to what you believe would be the end of the world type things. I mean, there's earthquakes and all kinds of crazy shit going on all over the world. But I mean, the coronavirus is, I mean, it's not exactly the zombie plague.
Yeah, it's pretty tame compared to what Hollywood has always told it was going to be. Diesel, are you upset there's no zombie apocalypse going on right now?
Depends. If we're talking 28 days later zombies, no. My ass is not surviving that. If it's George Romero zombies, I'm in. I'll survive for a little while.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. If it's George Romero zombies, there's a double bonus here. You get to have a lot of fun surviving. When you finally get got, you become a zombie. So it's like you get a second life in a video game.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a free roll. It's great. You get to live your life on both sides of the spectrum. I could see us being like the original the remake of Dawn of the Dead on the roof of a mall, shooting at the celebrity. You write down a celebrity, you got to find him, shooting him. One of the best scenes ever in a Dawn of the Dead. I know you've seen those movies because you don't mind zombie movies.
Bing Rames was amazing in that.
So good. Dawn of the Dead was a really good remake. It was one of the few really good remakes out there. But yeah, man, I tell you.
I tell you. So yes, yeah, so, Mike. Obviously, if we don't hit the apocalypse, we definitely have to have you back on like the full show when we have more time. Unfortunately, this is like crunched in there in between curfews. I wish I was lying in the world right now and said that there wasn't curfews in place, but there is. I feel weird as a 37-year-old man. I haven't had a curfew for what 20 some years now,
and it's weird because like I have no problem staying at home and doing nothing. As soon as people tell me that I got to stay home, oh, fuck you. Catch me outside. How about that?
By the way, how is... I should have asked this before. I mean, I know we were going into closing, but how... newsflash. I mean, we live in New York. Everybody knows that. You are actually in Pennsylvania. How is the curfews and everything going down in Pennsylvania?
I don't think there is one.
Oh, there's no curfew yet? But there's a lot of bans, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of bans. A lot of the stores are closed, and I guess they're fining people for going out and buying non-essentials and things like that. But I don't see much going on. I mean, every day it's been something different. I mean, I've been on conference calls every single day of the week now, and it seems like everything changes every day. I mean, I just got moved from one county to another because they were worried about it. And I start there tomorrow, so this is like I think my 9th store in the last year.
Jesus.
So now they're just kind of bouncing me around, and they're just kind of like, well, we can't really do a whole lot besides just put stuff out and expect people to buy it. So I guess we'll just kind of make the best of it. But I mean, they put store limits on it. They told associates they can wear jeans and stuff so that it's more comfortable for them. But this blows my mind is that they still have not told us what happens if somebody that works in the store gets sick.
Yeah, we didn't get that either. I just want to point out, and I work for a great company. I will not disclose that because we do not want to get sued by anybody that we work for. But I work for a great company, and there isn't. They put out a rah-rah paper the other day, though. I came into work, and there was these laying around. There was these pieces of paper that basically said that, you know, don't worry. If you're feeling depressed, call this number. We have your back. We know that there's a lot of anxiety on this time. The only nice thing on that paper was they were like, no matter what, we'll take care of you. And we're like, okay, cool. Oh, that's nice. Outside of that, there was just a lot of like trying to build morale. I like that. I was like, this is a come to work paper. This is, in other words, like, you know, we have a rather large workforce, and they're still like, please come to work because we need the help. Because literally, I think most stores or retail shops especially are hitting like a 300% above sales.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where we're at. It's like 300% above sales, which is ridiculous if you think about it, man. Really ridiculous. But, I mean, hey, it is what it is. Everybody thought the end of the world was coming. I don't know. I still don't think the end of the world is here. I think we're still going to be coming to you, bringing you much entertainment. That brings me to a great point before, you know, I get everybody's in touches and getting out of here. Because I do really want to shout this out. As you know, the 8122 Production Studios is at Dragon Master Games. It's located at 1235 Upper Front Street in Binghamton, New York, 13901. Right now, with bands and essentials, they are allowed to stay open. Our studio is not in jeopardy because it's not a business. You know, if they ever asked me if it was a business, if you want to count all our losses, then maybe. But, it is what it is. And I'm not here to even talk about this podcast. And our financials, we're just not a business. So we will never be in jeopardy of losing our studio unless they ban us to our houses. And in that case, I'll just come in and take the equipment I need and it'll move to my house and everybody will do it remote. It is what it is. However, the store is, you know, obviously going through this time, small business owners and stuff. And if you are playing Magic the Gathering, if you have gaming needs and stuff like that, and you don't have a local shop, because I honestly support your local shop, please support local, because all these small business owners do need it. But if you don't have a local shop and you need somewhere to get stuff, please consider buying it from Dragon Master Games. We have a big online supply. We have tons of Magic singles. We have gaming needs, all that stuff right here at the store. We do not own the store. I want to point that out. We literally are gifted this by the owners of the store. I don't work for the store. Diesel doesn't work for the store. Ron doesn't work for the store. None of us, and to do with 8122 Productions, they're just friends. I just want to make that clear because somebody might be like, well, maybe he's just trying to boost his own business. It's not my business. They're just friends of ours that have given us an awesome space to do this show in, great room that we've made our own, and we'd love to continue this on here. DragonMasterGames.com, and they ship everywhere. So yeah.
please, if you need anything, please do that. Also, that parties into when I said local. If you have a local game shop, please support them. As long as there's no ban on them being open, please go buy a couple packs. Believe it or not, that just helps pay some stuff. Go buy something, you know, do something. Same with restaurants, same with anything else local. Keep local businesses going, because they're not like the big companies that, you know, Derek is blessed to work for and is paying him to not be at work at this time. And, you know, a company like mine, this whatever, and I won't speak for you, Mike. But anyways, you know, like these companies really depend on money. They're living hand to mouth. Please, please, please support them, because too many people are going to have it. The financial burden of this is going to be heavy. Let's be honest. It does suck. Illness sucks. Death sucks. But when we all come through and people on the other end, the financial end is going to be really bad. And so I can only say shop local, please, man. Buy, if anything else, buy gift cards. You know, yeah, these most places have gift certificates, gift cards. Go to your favorite diner, go to your favorite local restaurant, go to your favorite game shop, go to your favorite comic book shop, go to your favorite whatever, buy a gift card. You know, if you don't need anything, buy, or if you do need stuff, buy some stuff, buy some comics, buy whatever. I know, you know, we, our good friend Justin at Justin Credible cosplay on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. They work for a big comic book store around here, and he puts out a thing every week that we share on our page. And he had a real solemn ending, because they don't know. Next week, that might not come out. Next week, they might not be open. Yeah. So getting your comic books is going to really suck, because, you know, digital is a thing, but still, you know, supporting a local shop is still really cool. So please, please, please support these people in this time of need. Mike, before I let's make the plea, how can people support the Uppercut Editions cause and keep their eye on what you guys are doing?
Well, they can follow us on social media. On Twitter, we're at EncyclopediaMK, and on Facebook, we are the Mortal Kombat Encyclopedia Project, but it does say Uppercut Editions once you get to the page. And just following those pages and kind of just keeping track of what we're doing, that helps, you know, a lot. And then, you know, we do interact fairly often with folks. So we're here to open and answer any questions and, you know, have discussion about, you know, whatever it may be with fans and friends. So, you know, just follow those accounts and that'll be it.
Absolutely. And of course, keep an eye on us. We'll also be plugging you guys as we do. Like I said, I will be having a video, pictures, video, and everything up. We'll be going up tomorrow. I'm going to do that with the professor from Horror Zone 607. So as always, keep your eyes on Three Fat Nerds Podcast on Facebook. Like that page, share that page, help spread the word of nerd there on Facebook, at Three Fat Nerds Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Once again, follow, help support us there as well. You can find us on any podcatcher. You already know that, but tell your friends. Just search Three Fat Nerds anywhere. Hit smash the subscribe button. We're coming to you with the every week with the flagship show. It's all about nerdom and pop culture. And we're coming to you with a wrestling show also that me and Ken M from the Ocho Duro Parley Hour do together on this 3FN Presents The Wrestling Show. Also, you know, 8122 Productions is down for maintenance currently because I want to redesign some things. It will be back up in the near future. I can't give you an exact date because with my crazy hectic life, it was just easier to bring it down instead of looking at the cobwebs that were up. So don't mind that, but you will be able to get back on there to check everything out. Check out Horror Zone 607 if you're a horror fan. You know, we always plug these things. Of course, check out our, you know, friends of the show. Obviously, the Ocho Duro Parley Hour. Check them out anywhere you get it. They do a great sports commentary plus pop culture commentary as well. Unfortunately, right now their sports news is a little low, but you know, hey, we're all making do and trying to entertain people as much as we can during these hard times. Also, if you want to support also local acts, man, go on to Bandcamp and support some local bands. Some of the ones that you hear on this show each and every week, if you go through our archive, you hear Shout at the Robots, you hear Floodlands, you hear Second Suitor. All of them could use some help, and you also love Phos Fiends from Melbourne, Australia, who could really need some double help because they had the wildfires and now they have coronavirus. Australia's getting a real shitty deal, folks, so check them out. They have great music. If you listen to the archive, because there's not going to be much on this episode, but if you listen to the archive, I know Shout at the Robots is our opening song. You'll hear that, and you know, we'll probably close with a Second Suitor song, and you can go out and find those guys anywhere. They're awesome, and I support them as much. As a matter of fact, Tyler from Second Suitor has a thing. If you go to Second Suitor on Facebook, they're doing grab bags for shirts, and you can support them directly, which is, it's great. Support, I keep supporting the community. Once again, Dragon Master Games, thank you for the studio, 1235 Upper Front Street, Binghamton, New York, 13901. DragonMasterGames.com. Please, please, please help them out. I'm in the middle of designing something that we can sell at the store that all proceeds will go to them. I don't know if we're going to do cinch bags or if we're going to be doing shirts and stuff, but for hopefully the patrons of the store will step up and pay a little something to the owners, you know, just to help them through, because it's a rough time, man. It really is. And once again, we'll be here to bring you the funny. We'll be here to bring you entertainment. That's what we're going to do no matter what. The news might be bleak. There might not even be any, but trust me, we'll make up for it. We got plenty to talk about. We have Diesel here. And of course, if you want to join Patreon, patreon.com/8122productions, you get to hear Love It Scary. And that right there, friends, is worth the dollar a month, $12 a year, if you will, or $3 if you want to be a Chubby Chaser above. Shout out to our latest Chubby Chaser, Ryan Hooker. That's right. Thank you for being a Chubby Chaser. Give you a shout out on the show for it. Of course, our other Chubby Chasers are our friends at 30 and Nerdy Podcast. They also are loving it. So, and of course, you know, Ken M is always there as a supporter and some more people. So
check it out. If you like what you hear, I'm single, you know.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, you also get all uncut, uncensored, and uncooked versions of the Three Fat Nerds Podcast and the Wrestling Show. And you get early access to all of them, including Horror Zone 607, and we might even start doing uncut stuff for a Horror Zone, because seems like Mike C is finally interested in it. I think it's more the professor, because the professor likes to talk like I do, so we're good. So Mike, we will have you on in the near future. Hopefully, stay safe, man. You and your family, please stay safe, and everybody at home. For myself and Diesel, I got one other thing left to say, and that's later, nerds.
I really gotta pee.
You're falling apart, and you know it. You try and try to hide it, but you show it. I need you to know, I felt it too. And I'm still trying to figure it out, just like you. Just like you. You never did. You never took the time to ask how I felt, assuming that I'd be okay, just like everybody.